Hi, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and we are here in San Francisco talking to you about the Akashic Records. And today is December 7th, 2008. And we have some wonderful guests with us right here on location in our hotel room in the fabulous, interesting Hotel Opal. Anyway, we were here in San Francisco at Dr. Mark Dunn's workshop because, you know, there's lots that we can learn. And so if you're curious about information about Dr. Mark Dunn, you could go to his website and take a look at that. But I have some great folks here that we're going to be asking questions and talking with. And I have, there's Nikki. Everybody remembers Nikki. Nikki always asks wonderful questions. And then there's Lorraine Renshaw. She's also another Akashic Records student and friend of mine. And she lives in Pittsburgh, but she's here in San Francisco. And then our friend is Greg White from Delaware. And so we've got, and then we have a Californian lady, and she is Soleil Dakota, and she is a singer and a songwriter, and she has graced us with a selection of her music, and we're going to be listening to that. In fact, I'm going to let you listen to it right now, and then we're going to talk to Soleil. So without any further ado, I hope I'm going to do this right, we're going to play it, and of course we're going to ask, you know, have you call in with your questions and talk about all sorts of wonderful things. And so here we are. I hope I'm going to, Greg, can you help me figure this out? I'm not exactly technically minded here, so we're going to try and put this music through. It's not going to be coming through BBS. It's just going to be coming through my phone. And hopefully it will come on now, okay? So hold on, everybody, and listen to Soleil Dakota singing We'll Meet Again. Okay, almost. Yeah, whoops. Gotta go back to the beginning. Oh, and this is dedicated to Soleil's dad who passed, and it's a very special, special song. So that was Soleil Dakota, and the song is dedicated to her dad. So we're going to talk to Soleil right now. Come on, go close to me, Soleil. We're going to talk. So So talk to me about how that song came about and what you do. And you've written for some pretty important people, not that you're not important, but people that we would know. So talk to us about who you are and what you do.
Yes, thank you. I did some co-writing with a very famous producer, Narda Michael Walden, my mentor, and he produced Whitney and Aretha and just a number of amazing artists. And I co-wrote songs with him for Diana Ross and Al Jarreau and a number of young R&B artists.
Great.
And one song in particular for Diana Ross is called Only Love Can Conquer All, and she sang it on Oprah and also for Nelson Mandela in South Africa. So that was tremendous to have contributed to a beautiful song, a world piece.
So how did the song for your dad come about? Talk to us about what you're doing now and what you want to do with the song. The reason I say that is this song, it ignites within me the memory of many of our dear ones that have gone, that we will meet again. So it may be for your dad, but it brings a beautiful energy of love for others.
That's right. And it's the songs that I'm writing now for myself to sing they're universal songs, and they're songs that touch everybody, and the songs that we all feel. And it's unfolding as a part of each song is a sing-along. And this song has a Native American feel to a chant, and it's just an instant something that we can all share and sing along with, which makes it very powerful because it's a song of humanity and a participatory song and a communal experience that's deep within us all, so very layered.
Yeah, when I was listening to this, what was interesting to me is the unification that I felt when we were all singing it in the room right before the program, you know? And so it seems that no matter what voice range you're in, by singing this, we really harmonize together. And so it was just beautiful, you know, just lovely. So are you planning on doing an album? What's going on?
I am, and what's interesting is I'm watching, as I write these songs, the common thread in all of them. And the group experience is one of the deep common threads. The songs all are ending up with little parts, and everyone can sing together. And in that singing, we're having a common experience and sharing that. And so that has deep meaning, to have it be participatory for me.
So when you're working with talk about your process. How do you write these songs?
I generally start with a chorus, which is the main idea of a song. And so with this one, for some reason, the main line came through, We'll Meet Again, which is very general. And from there, it just kind of comes in little chunks and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a mysterious process. I mean, I've worked to have the tools so that the inspiration can come through. And I think that one of the keys for me is to sing about something that I care very deeply about. And when I do, that means it's something that everyone cares about and something universal.
And how many songs are you working on an album right now? Or?
I am, uh-huh.
And how many songs will be on that album?
Well, I have 5 in motion, and I'm sort of waiting to see how it's going to unfold. But I'm envisioning very global songs that people can feel united by, and coming into a setting where people are gathered for some high purpose, and being able to offer like 20 minutes of unification through music or through singing, or just a silencing in the middle of a conference.
And so, are the songs all Native American feel, or do they have different cultures as far as their background is concerned?
Well, I'm not quite sure how that's going to unfold, but I hear a lot of percussion, and I hear a world sort of feel, and I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Sort of watching it unfold.
Well, that's wonderful. We're going to play a little bit in the records, you know, and you can ask some questions about global stuff.
Oh, that's good.
Be sure, we want people, if you've heard this in the very beginning, you'd like to hear more. Why don't you give your contact information, Soleil, and people can get a hold of you if they'd like to buy.
Oh, okay, thank you. My domain has been purchased, but my website is not up yet. But when it is, in the next couple of months, it will be SoleilDakota.com, and that's S-O-L-E-I-L, and the last name's Dakota, D-A-K-O-T-A.
Great, and if you want to give a phone number that they can call you in between?
Well, why not?
Sure. I mean, give it, you know, you might as well use the promotion,
thank
right?
you, sure. Yeah. 415-328-0303, and at this point you could reach me at SoleilDakota@gmail.com.
That's great. Okay.
And I'm in this room with all these powerful, amazing, beautiful people that I just met, and life is beautiful.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, gosh, thank you so much. Thank you. All right. So we want to extend the invitation for anyone who would like to call in. We were kind of sharing a phone there, so I don't know if anybody called in or not. So is there a caller on the line? Nope, there's not a caller on the line. You'll usually hear a beep if there is. And so if you'd like to call in, and you can talk directly to Soleil if you'd like, or you can talk to any one of the other three folks here that are working with the records. We've got Lorraine Renshaw, we have Greg White, and we have Nikki Lopresti, and then, of course, me, Donna Fox. And you can call direct, toll-free, at 877-876-5227 in the U.S., or if you're in Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country, you can call direct to 530-876-3222, and that area code is 01. So we were at this amazing workshop this past weekend, but what I know is that my friends have some questions, all right? So, Lorena, you're up. You've got questions? Come on close to the microphone, otherwise known as the regular phone. Okay, so here, go ahead. And if you hear a beep, that's it.
Okay. So my question, Donna, is what is the meaning of the global warming effect on our planet, and how is that what does that mean in terms of our alignment with the rest of the universe and the galaxies and so forth?
Wow, that's a great question. So just to give you a little bit of a background for those people who have possibly not listened in before, I open the records of the show, and I open my own personal records, and I open the records with a sacred prayer, and we access the records consciously. And so I want to just repeat this to make sure that I got this right. So you're asking what is the relationship between global warming and our own personal alignment? And what is the meaning of it? Okay. Okay, so, and I also want to mention that I don't, when I bring forth information, it's not about, I don't intuit this information. It comes forward either in a stream of consciousness or pictures, or I don't interpret anything. I'm going to tell you exactly what I see, hear, or sometimes feel. And so what's important to understand about the global warming and the alignment, it has to do with not only our personal anchors and centers, it's as if we as humans are being recalibrated from a place of not just a higher level and not just a higher frequency, but it's an expansion of our own abilities. One of the things that's important is that it's not to say that global warming isn't something to be concerned about. However, the meaning of the global warming needs to be looked at without the fear. It's huge fear base, and it's very important that humanity move into a place of awareness rather than allowing the fear to motivate their life. And so the global warming is an awareness of recalibrating not only the Earth's poles and the information that's coming, from that recalibration. But it's also about allowing the effects of change to not only manifest in our lives, but to be embraced. The time for blame of why this is happening is over. And you cannot allow blame to rule your life in any way, shape, or form. So it is very important that humans look upon their own personal actions as a way of anchoring their love of themselves and their bodies and the way that relates to their love of the earth on which we stand. Because we are not just of the earth, and we all know that we are spirit walking the earth, but there are energies and frequencies that are attached with every human that go deep into the earth and move through the earth as we walk on the earth. It's what I'm being shown here, is that every human has frequencies that it almost looks like strings of energy. And these strings of energy come from the bottoms of their feet and go deep into the earth. And yet their thought processes and their heart functions move up into the higher atmospheres. So as you all know, there is only a portion of us that are physically on the planet. What's important to understand about this global warming is that as we walk the earth, we need to allow our frequencies to not only expand, but to go deep within the earth with such an intention of love that it is nourished from a place of divinity that comes from the earth, the humans that inhabit the earth. Did that answer your question? Yeah, you're welcome. That's very interesting. Who's next? Who has Greg's coming up. Hold on, Greg. Oops, we're hearing that's a Nikki saying, oh, she has another question. All right, you have a follow-up question? Then Greg. Okay, what's your follow-up question?
It's not a question.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not a question. It's just a comment on something else that I'm getting, that to consider that the global warming, as this is occurring, is also to consider it as kind of like a breeding ground. And if we can be aware of this and the changes that we're feeling and how Donna was saying of sending love to the earth, what are we in our frequency sending to the earth because of this breeding ground? So we can send more love to the earth now. It is possible to send more than we've ever sent before. And if people are more aware of doing that and have the intention of doing that, it will grow and spread.
That's great. So the intention, also, you have to look at the intention of, we just want to expand on that. So as you take a step, it's really about loving the feet and loving your connection with the earth and allowing that energy to move through you into the atmosphere of the earth. And the more of us out there that can begin to consciously do this on a daily basis, it's about really moving into a place of deep gratitude for the planet, for the earth, and allowing that energy to actually manifest through the bottoms of our feet. So the more we can actually stand barefoot on the earth, sending love through the bottoms of our feet, we're actually nourishing the planet as we do that. So, thanks for that question, Lorraine. And thank you, Nikki, for that comment. That's great. Okay, Greg, what would you like to ask? Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can certainly email me questions, but my email's not really working really well. So I'm trying to So if you have a question, call it in or email me, and if I don't get the question tonight, I will do my best to try and answer it next weekend. By the way, my email address, if you're looking to email me, is info@akashicwisdom.com. That's akashicwisdom.com. Or if you'd like to call in, I gave you the phone numbers. And then my personal phone number for offline is 216-691-1233. Okay. Greg, what would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I'd like to know what the correlation between conscious awakening in 2012, and they call this time the quickening, although it's reference to that. So if your input on that would be appreciated.
Great. So you want to understand from the record keepers the true meaning of the quickening, or the relationship between
the awakening of the people coming in.
The people are coming into new consciousness for the 2012. You understand what that new consciousness is? That's the bottom line? Okay. All right. So first of all, it's very important. It's very important that anyone who has any type of fear base or concern about 2012, to really move from that fear into a space of love and creation. Absolutely key. It's very important that we understand that this, and global warming, actually this is very much correlates with this, by the way, that's what they're telling me, that coming from a place of fear is another way of coming from lack. And the idea of the synergy of the downturn in the economy and the upcoming, not prediction, their predictions, the upcoming concern about 2012 is actually laying a foundation and groundwork for we as humans to actually rise above the naysayers, if you will, and move into our own power. We have an opportunity on this planet to take our power back and to really move into our God being, our God knowing, our divine essence in a way that we've never done on the planet before. We as humans are moving into an awareness that can be quite magnificent. In fact, more magnificent than we've ever been. Because what's happening is we are reclaiming our power for who we truly are, rather than moving through life under other people's opinions. And so this is the time in the next few years, it's going to be more and more important for us to take our own power back and for us to move into light and to move into love of self and really move back into the center so that you really truly do know who you are. In fact, that's one of the things about this seminar that we just went through this past weekend, which is so important. It was about really connecting with your center and claiming your God self. That's kind of a very small encapsulation of what was going on, but it's really about noticing the different frequencies and vibrations that we carry. And one of the things the record keepers have given me in the past is a way of aligning, is to ask to be placed in the highest level of frequency and vibration of whatever aspect you want to expand in your life. So That's another way of moving into that. So that would be helpful. Any other questions going on here? Nikki's coming back to the phone here. That's great. Okay, go ahead, Nick.
Well, also in connection with this, there was something from the previous question that I forgot to mention that you had said that it's about this time, if we can, to get out of the fear, also connecting with the global warming aspect that you said, that they said at the very beginning, to get out of the concern and fear about the global warming and to really get into the love, not only love of, because in love of self, and send that, then as you're walking the planet, radiate love instead of fear.
Right.
And send that to the planet.
Right. Well, that's the whole piece. It's about really actually gathering your own personal awareness about what your fears are. You know, the idea here is if you can get clear about what you fear and then elevate that into a different place of knowing, it's almost like, it's like there's a very odd picture, but they're showing like people taking off raincoats. It's like they're shedding certain parts of them, you know. So okay, we have more questions. Who's next here? Okay, hold on.
Well, expanding on what Donna said, part of the seminar that we attended this weekend was connecting with in whatever other people's, often we're caught up in other people's stuff, other people's patterns, global patterns, a lot of times stuff that we're feeling when we get anxious, we get all caught up in these big things that are happening on the planet, like global warming or the economy or stuff like that. And if you can take a moment where you are and to really just connect and go into your heart space in that moment and say, where am I? Who am I? Where is the love that I am in this moment, in this pattern, and connect with that feeling and go deep within, go into your heart space and connect there, then everything else falls away. All the fear falls away when you connect there, and it suddenly doesn't really matter
right.
as much. Now, the other question that's coming up is that how can we, this is the question for the records, Donna, is that when all this stuff is going on in our global community, how can we be of service to ourselves and others at this great time of change?
Okay. So each individual has a responsibility. Each individual has a responsibility to be a beacon of light for themselves. What they're showing me is, it's as if, it's funny, we were talking about flashlights this morning, they're showing me a flashlight, I won't go into why, but they're showing me this flashlight that's coming from within. It's like as if there's a flashlight that is scanning the individual's body to illuminate the pockets of, we're going back to fear again, and anger and doubt. And so the issue is it's really about each individual out there becoming their own guru, if you will. Because the days of gurus are really coming to the end. Everyone has their own information within them. In fact, that's what the record keepers, they're working with the Akashic Records, are all about. It's about learning how to open your own personal Akashic Records and then bringing forth your own personal answers and what's within your heart. And it's really about saying, this feels right for me, this doesn't feel right for me, I understand about this. And you can no longer truly allow anyone else to tell you how your future is going to be. You create your future. And it's about taking back your power so that you move into a space of light in a way that not only supports you, but supports the planet as well. We, as light workers, have a responsibility within ourselves to illuminate our lives in a way that will illuminate other people's lives. It's almost like they're, it's funny, that's exactly the picture they're showing me. It's like one light keeps lighting other lights. There's a book by Neil Donald Walsh that they were talking about, I think it's The Little Soul of the Sun, actually. And this book is talking about how we contract and come in and allow ourselves to be instruments for the betterment of others in various ways. And sometimes people come in and they lower their vibration specifically for other people to learn by. But there also is a comment that one candle can never be diminished by lighting other candles from it. So if you have one candle and you light others, that doesn't diminish the flame. It only expands the light. And so the more we expand our light, it doesn't diminish others, it only expands others, you see. And that's what we have to really look at. So our responsibility is to move into our light to such a degree that there is no room for any darkness. And that's very important. And the other comment I'm sure you've heard before is, there's no such thing as darkness, there's only an absence of light. And so we have a responsibility to illuminate our lives and our hearts to the best of our ability by increasing our frequencies and vibration. Did you have another comment? Hold on. Another question. Okay. And you folks can also call in questions but we're doing good now, but keep call in for questions. That's great. Or discussion if you want to make comments. Hold on.
Okay, Donna, the next question is, why is it that so many humans are now moving into a place of fear and feelings of lack? And what effect does this have on the global consciousness?
Well, the fear of lack, obviously, you know, it would appear that it looks like it's because of the economy. But the actual fear of lack and that consciousness preceded our global economy for the last 100 years. And it's almost that the culmination of the giving up of the individual human power and the fear of lack. It's almost like that energy was there long before we've had these global issues. And so, but people will blame the reason they're financially afraid, if you will, because of the economy. But the reality is that there are many people out there that haven't bought into that. And those people are not affected by lack of money. And so, it moves us back into gratitude. actually part of this, these issues that we have right now have to do with actually what they're saying is it's like we're experiencing lack because we've had a lack of gratitude. It's that there's enough, and so that by moving into gratitude, if we could actually change the paradigm, and we'll change the paradigm, because what happens is in an economy that's going down the way ours is right now, people go back to the basics and become more appreciative, if you will, of life itself because it simplifies things. And so the antidote, if you will, for the fear is gratitude. Does that make sense to you? Yes, I guess it does. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Great. Do you have any questions? Okay. Yes, hold on. Here's Nikki.
And also at the same time of going into gratitude, the whole climate of this, the fear and lack, allows us a time where if we can step back, we can look at what we really value and truly appreciate those things and be in gratitude for what we really hold dear and what we really, everyone in their lives, what the whole fear is created is often because it's about, well, how am I going to support and care for my family and loved ones? And so we realize it allows us a time to really realize how important those family and loved ones are to us, and we can get into gratitude for that and realizing that no matter what is going on globally, that connection with our family and loved ones is still present.
Right, and needs to be appreciated. And there was the other piece is that you can never tell someone you love them too much, and including yourself. If anybody's ever called me, they'll know that the voicemail that I have on the message that I have when you call is to tell the ones you love them, including yourself. And so the idea here is it's really about moving in, and this, I don't want this to sound like it's Pollyanna. You know, this is not about saying that there isn't real pain out there and there isn't a lot of fear. But the reality is the pain and the fear can actually be transmuted with gratitude and faith. You as an individual that's listening to this program has the ability to transcend all negativity by being willing to drop the rope and give up your anger. I'd like you to consider that. Consider what it would be like to live an angry-free life. What would that be like? Now, there are many people out there that will say, well, I'm not angry, I'm just sad. Or I'm not angry, I'm frustrated. Or I'm not angry, you know, I'm worried. And the reality is, it's all anger-based. Because it's coming from a place of lack. So you really need to see that. You need to understand that no matter what name you put on it, the emotion is anger. So for example, if in fact you're worried about something, okay, how many times if somebody hasn't called you or they don't show up, and you say, I'm so worried, that you didn't know if you should hug them or slap them when they walked in the door. Well, somehow that's not loving. You know, the worry part translates to anger. And the other piece is that the fear of lack, it's all the same thing, and it's about giving up the anger, and it's giving up then the bottom line if you take a look at anger. And let's go one step deeper right underneath the anger is control. It's really about looking at what are you willing to no longer try to control in your life. Because when you look at what you're no longer willing to look at about control, you'll see that the control is in direct relationship with your feeling of lack. Take a look at that. That the idea is there's lack, and then there's the fear or the need to control, and then you've got anger. And notice how those three pieces fit together. And notice where they exist in your life and how they run your life. And it's really about doing a personal inventory of where you come from, either lack, you come from fear, you allow anger to motivate you, it's all connected. And so all these underlying feelings need to be neutralized in order for us to live a joyful life. So it's really about doing a personal inventory and looking at where those pockets of anger, shame, frustration, all that stuff that we are feeling also is all about not being in control. And what is control? Control is trying to make somebody do something that we want them to do, whether they want to do it or not. And then on the flip side of that, it's feeling controlled that you've got to do something that you don't want to do based on somebody else's wishes. So either you're giving up your power or you're moving into a place of wanting to be overbearing. Now, I'm not saying it's so insidious, you see. It's not even something that we can put our finger on. It can be very subtle. Because there's many people who would never admit to any of this, and yet their underlying peace is they control out of niceness. How many people have you known in your life that that you do stuff for because they're so nice you don't want to say no? Yeah, it is a passive aggressiveness. It's like, well, oh, they're so nice, I can't say no to them, or well, that, you know, that's okay. Notice, but it's the bottom line, it's all about control. So we've got to give that up. We have to, and how do you give that up? You give that up by being straight about what you truly want and who you are. And it's really about stopping yourself from saying yes when you mean no. Okay? Because it's really about that inventory within your life about where those pockets are that contribute to your own personal anger, your own personal feeling of lack of power, and your own personal feeling of lack, your own fear, and all the other stuff we just talked about. So take a look at that. Because you are such magnificent beings, all of you, every single one of you, that you have the potential to live in a place that allows you to not only love yourself, but to love everyone around you. And again, not from a Pollyanna point of view, but from a place of respect and a place of love. And so when you ask, what can we do as light workers or as humans, it's really about our own personal respect of self and our own willingness to speak our truth. Is this making any sense? You know, it kind of goes around in a circle, but it's really there, you know? So, you know, we only have a few more minutes left of this program, so if there's anyone who'd like to make a comment out there, we would love to hear from you. So please call 877-876-5227 in the U.S., or in Canada, 888-815-9756, or you can dial direct at 530-876-3222. Okay, so what are the questions that is moving around in your wonderful minds out there that we're talking? You guys got anything else that you'd like to ask? Okay. Did you have something? Wait, Soleil has something she'd like to ask. Hold on, please.
First of all, Donna, this is so inspiring. Really, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
I just would like to ask if you have something to say about global music and uniting people through music globally.
That's a great question. You know, global music. What is global music? Global music is the frequencies that unite the cells within the body that encourage communication of the cells and their elevation of frequencies. That's what music is. And when you talk about global music, it's about moving into your own individual light, if you will, your own individual space, and allowing the divine to play through you. And when you allow the divine to play through you, you then touch the heart and the cells and the beingness of the others around you, of humanity. And you know, the parts that in your songs, Soleil, were the sing-along part. The frequencies of those, the chanting, are ancient. They feel ancient to me. They feel like they could be a part of ancient chanting of the Torah. They could be chanting of around the fires for Native American. They can be chanting of the African movement. I mean, there's elements of that chanting there that really can unite the souls of all that are around. Think of the song Kumbaya. That's the song that's playing in my head right now. Is that when we use music to unite, we never need language. Does that make sense? It's like you don't really need the quote unquote language, English or Spanish or whatever. All you need is the chanting of the tone. Right. Nikki says music transcends language with its vibration. That's absolutely true. And so we can unite through toning. Now they're showing me the picture of the, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when you had those different, the different tones, you know? Okay, of what was uniting the wonderful extraterrestrials and the folks on the planet. You know, there was a game that used to light up? Simon. You know, those tones sounded just like Simon. I don't care. They was like the same Simon tones. But it was a very much a uniting of that. And so the more you can participate in the global love of by expressing music, that's wonderful. Did that answer your question? You're welcome. And we do have time for one more. Go ahead, Marie.
Thanks, Donna. Donna, what is preventing humans from being able to levitate and communicate via telepathic means? Because we've always been told that our origins are such that we are able to do this. Well, what is preventing us from doing this now?
That's a great question. I'm laughing because the record keepers are saying it's not at all complicated. It has to do with belief. It has to do with really claiming the ability. It's a belief. And the actual ability to levitate not only their bodies, but the things, well, people actually do it on the planet now. You just don't hear a lot about them. Because if you heard about them, oh, this is very interesting. If you were to hear about the people who can actually levitate, I mean, like they were to make the news. Society and the human consciousness right now on the planet is not ready for the acceptance of that. They would actually be in danger if the number of people that can do this were brought forward. and communicating telepathically goes on all the time. I mean, how many times do you hear the phone ring and you know who it is? Or how many times do we communicate with each other telepathically? But when you try, that's the difference is this is interesting. What they're saying is when you try, you put together an energy of expectation that carries with it underlying beliefs of failure. That's very interesting. That when you try to you know, to there seems to be some type of a, there's a charge there on an energetic as well as an emotional level that plays in with the belief system that blocks the transmission when you quote unquote try to. When you don't try and you just, for example, send out love or send out, you know, different thoughts, it's different. It's easier. The other piece is that there are people time traveling and telepathically traveling, you know, when they sleep, you know, through out of body experiences. That happens all the time. But again, there the labs that are really charting this are not really in the mainstream media. Like Fox News would not necessarily carry something like this, for sure. But the idea is that and it's kept under wraps because there's a fear factor here. But it doesn't mean that you as an individual couldn't do it. It just means that as a collective consciousness, we as humans aren't ready for it yet. Yeah. Okay, so we have two more minutes before we have to get off the air. Is there another question here on the floor? So, since everybody cool? Everybody's good? Here's what I'd like to share with all of you, and this is a message from the Akasha. This week, please do an inventory of all the things you're thankful for. This week, and I know you just had Thanksgiving, we talked about this, but this is something that is being recommended, that be thankful. And just make a list of all the grateful things that you have, whether it's a cup of coffee that smells good or a parking place, you've heard me say this before, or the love of your family or the fact that you don't have to be around your family. You know, it doesn't make any difference. You know, the idea is be grateful. Be grateful that you've taken your power back or you know your well self enough that you can move into the spaces that you want to be in. Because you are the most magnificent beings, and it's really about you appreciating who you are from a place of divine love. There's no one like any one of you, and our uniqueness is what we have to treasure. So I want to close the show out. I want to thank everyone that was here. If you want phone numbers for Lorraine, or Nikki, or Greg, well, Greg doesn't read other people's records yet, but he will. But right now, what Lorraine does, and so does Nikki, if you want more information about them and how to get a hold of them, give me a call at 216-691-1233, or email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And again, for, Soleil, you know, if you want her album or more information about her music, call me. It's going to be easier because we're almost out of time. So I want to say this. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen, amen. The records for this Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on December 7th, 2008 are now closed. Amen. And we want to say have a great, wonderful, wonderful week.
Bye-bye.